Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Combine done. Free agency well on its way. Welcome to the 2024 NFL season. This is Pod Like a Raven. Welcome back. Feels like we haven't recorded in 6 months. It also feels like we haven't recorded in 2 days. I am Antonio Barbera to welcome the listener, to welcome my co-host back to a fresh season of Baltimore Ravens football. Fresh season of Pod Like a Raven content coming at you, and we have some things to talk about. We have some free agency news, some Ravens news, and a few other things to touch on about how on earth this team is going to go forward with the roster as it is. But first, let me bring in my co-host, starting with Tim Horsey. Tim, I'm gonna, you know, just get right into the heart of it off the jump here. Has enough time passed? Are we moving forward? Are we still kind of chewing some of the stuff in the back of our minds, or are we fresh start enough to tackle 2024?
Oh, that battle scar will never go away. That's one that, you know, Shane Falco's still got on. Pain heals, but chicks dig scars, and glory lasts forever. Glory hasn't come yet, unfortunately. So yeah, that's not going anywhere. But with that being said, I don't think about it as much. It doesn't keep me up at night every night anyway. That's good. You know, working with coworkers who all of a sudden decide to bring it up, that's a little bit different. But yeah, I think we're moving forward. I think that in general, as we'll get to in this episode, the free agency, we haven't even gotten to the draft, but just free agency in general in this offseason has been so chaotic from a league standpoint, something that I don't think either any of us envisioned. And I think that's kind of, you know, let the past dissipate just a little bit, where I can scroll through Adam Schefter and look for new deals and terrible jersey mock-ups and just awful Photoshops, like worse than Kate Middleton. And I think that is definitely helping. I'll put a bow on it this way. I am excited to talk about the Ravens with you guys today, which the past couple of episodes I was not, because of, you know, everything that happened.
You get the occasional drive-by from a person that you haven't seen in a long time, and then they just hit you with the, oh, tough, wow, tough end there to that. It's going to happen, I think, for a few more months, as I see the randos here and there, but hopefully it'll go away at some point. On the other end of the spectrum, from Tim and I, is Jace, who I think is Jace Evans, just full bore. A lot of text, a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of all caps, exclamation points. I love it, Jace. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, Antonio. I should say, with the caveat that I'll never get over that title game loss, I've gotten over it. At least that's, maybe I'm lying to myself, but I am genuinely excited. Enough, you know, we removed from the immediacy of it, and I think enough generally positive things have happened for this team. I am not of the camp that I think some in Ravens Twitter are in, that it's all doom and gloom. I am genuinely excited about developments that have happened this offseason, and I'm excited for next season. Do I think the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl next year? No, they did miss that chance. That still hurts. That will sting. I think the team will be worse, but that being said, I am excited to see what they put on the field next season, because I think it could be interesting. It should be new. It should be interesting. There's a lot of change, and there's excitement in that. So, you know, yeah, it'll still annoy me, and similar to you all have had, you know, you do get it kind of, you can generally avoid it in your day-to-day, but then, yeah, the blind side when you're not prepared to think about that game and someone brings it up, that could always be a bummer. But yeah, I am excited. I think I've mostly turned the page and I'm kind of looking ahead now after, yeah, as Tim said, just kind of a crazy free agency period, especially in the quarterback shuffle. I think we had sort of unforeseen And I think it just creates a lot of intrigue going into the draft, which is always fun. The draft's always good. Obviously, Ravens not picking quite as high as they have the last few years, but still a lot of fun there. You know, knowing they have a first round pick they'll probably trade out of on draft night, all that kind of stuff. So I'm looking forward to the draft and the season as a whole, you know, well beyond that.
So I mentioned, you know, start of the new season, new Pod Like a Raven season. Obviously, games are months and months away, but we're talking about the new NFL season, which officially opened, I believe, last week with the start of free agency. And with that, we're going to talk about a few moves that our Baltimore Ravens have made. One that was, for me at least, at first, you know, they are who we thought they were, and then another not. And that was the Madubuike move with the franchise tag first. That is what I was 100% certain, 99% certain that he was going to be playing on that franchise tag this year. Prove it to us again, and then we'll deal with it when we deal with it, or maybe, you know, we just can get one more year out of it, and then thanks very much. But no, franchise tag turning into long-term deal before free agency opened up. 4 years, $98 million. $75 million guaranteed, $53 million at signing. It's a lot of money, but my goodness. Maybe pound for pound the best defensive player on the Ravens last season has been an ascending talent, peaking at the right time. The age is good for this type of deal, but it's exciting for me. The biggest part of it is the Ravens proving me wrong, which happens all the time, but and actually sticking to the mantra of they keep their own. They give the deals to those big, talented superstars that they have. And they did it again, somehow, even though they didn't have any money in the cap, which is a thing we talk about every day. But no, they did have space. They could make it work. And now Madubuike is signed long term. Guys, how excited are we for this move?
I am going back through the text messages that we had when this happened. I was also in the middle of a bachelor party when this happened, so you can see where my mindset already was. And I'll just put it this way. I can't express my happiness in a text is one of the lines I sent over to you guys. I am over the moon that Justin Madubuike is signing long term. This is somebody that I've been talking about on this show for a very long time. You know, I think more famously, Nate Tice of The Athletic has always been kind of a guy that's been on the Madubuike corner, and he convinced me, and I decided to hop on there too. I think that he is a rare, rare, rare talent in the middle of a defensive line. And it was very refreshing to not have this franchise tag hanging over the heads of the team. It was going to cost them, I believe, $22 million against the cap if they didn't get something done. They used the franchise tag to basically extend their window and when they could sign him. And got to the table and said, you know what, we need to pay the guys who got us here. 13 sacks last season, and I don't think we've seen the best of Justin Madubuike yet. And that's kind of what the Ravens are betting on, too. Look, there's smarter podcasts than this one and smarter people, including the man who's probably about to talk next, that could break down what makes him so, so good. But I just think to have a guy in the middle of that defense that is an absolute game wrecker, that we saw over and over and over again single-handedly blow up plays, disrupt quarterbacks, take down running backs in the backfield, shed multiple tackles to make moves, chase guys down, you know, from behind as well. I'm ecstatic. Like, and if Roquan, because Roquan switched to zero, the 92 is coming in hot for next season, and that's coming in the Horsey household. And I just love to, you know, we'll talk about some of the other pieces that they need around it. But if you think about the Ravens defenses of old, there was a spine up the middle, and Terrell Suggs. Don't forget Terrell Suggs, but he's the outlier here because, you know, Adafe Owe. Up the middle, you had Haloti Ngata, you had Ray Lewis, and you have Ed Reed. And now, finally, the Ravens have Justin Madubuike, Roquan Smith, and Kyle Hamilton. If that doesn't get you excited for this defense, outside of everything else that is there, you're nuts. And I just think this is a great move for him. Is there a little risk? Sure, like if this was an aberration, but the Ravens are smart. They know what they're doing, and I think that this was a slam dunk move. By far, the best signing the Ravens have made in this offseason so far.
What's exciting that they like got it done was it, I think, has helped like kind of, at least to this point, obviously they were going to lose a lot of people and they have lost a lot of people, but you guys mentioned that cap hit, because they actually got him signed, his cap hit's only $12 million this season, despite, you know, how much money they're giving him. You know, they're saving near, like, over $12 million against the cap by getting him on this number. And I think, Antonio, I think I was, you know, you mentioned them proving you wrong. I had the same thought. I was like, he's going to play on the tag. And I think I've just kept falling back to, you know, and they got it done with Lamar last year too. But I just kept thinking, you know, they tag Lamar and it's this long drawn out, you know, what was it, hours after they tagged him, he requested a trade, or days. Like, it was just like a long and arduous and drawn out process. And so you see the tag and you're like, all right, well, now we have a contract fight on our hands with our best defensive player, arguably, or certainly one of the most disruptive and the best up front, I would say definitively. You know, I was prepared to be like, well, we tagged him and we'll just have to make it work. And then, yeah, not only do they get him done and reduce that cap hit, they do it before two other guys in Christian Wilkins, who I think we'll talk about a little bit, and then Chris Jones, too, reset the market a little bit. With some of the deals they sign, and you look and you know, those guys both are going to clear $100 million probably in their contracts. I don't think the full details of the Jones came out, but he's getting $95 million guaranteed. So chances are he's getting who knows how many millions, hundreds of millions. So to get like that contract done before that, to just get your business in a row heading into, yeah, before the start of the league year even happens, I think before the legal tampering period even happened, right? Because that's that Monday was when they had this press conference. So to just get all that lined up, it was encouraging. And I'm with Tim in the sense that, you know, there is risk. He goes from 5.5 sacks to 13. He sets an NFL record, matches it with a half sack in 11 straight games last year. I'm not sure he's going to do that again. But I do know he has gotten better every single season. He's only 26 years old, right? Yeah, he's 26 until November, so he's going to play half the next season at 26 years old. These are the kinds of players you want to lock up. And, you know, we talked, I think, in one of our last shows before we took a break about how Kyle Van Noy's probably gone, Jadeveon Clowney almost certainly gone, and those guys had 18 sacks between them. But, you know, if you're working, I think, under the premise that those two guys are gone, you can't let the 13-sack guy who was the most disruptive force on your line go, too. I think he's just a cornerstone, and I think you had to lock him up. You locked Roquan Smith up when you traded for him. You have him locked up. And now, thankfully, because he was so good so young, you don't even have to worry about Kyle Hamilton's contract for two more seasons. He's playing on a rookie deal. And then they'll pick up his fifth-year option almost certainly, I would think. So Hamilton's contract you don't have to worry about for a while. But you have, as Tim said, your two spine guys lined up, and I think it's the most important piece of business they could do this offseason, and they got it done immediately. And the only question I have for Tim is, you kind of touched on it, but has the jersey been ordered yet? There was talk in the group chat. That's the only outstanding question I have.
Yeah, not been purchased yet because, and this is like a little mini what's bothering Tim, but we have too much to talk about. Of like, he's such a prominent player, and yet you still kind of have to get one of the custom-made ones that are like $170, and I work in sports radio. Like, this is not – like that's not feasible for a shirt that I'll wear, I don't know, four times a year or something like that. So, no, it has not been purchased yet. As soon as they make him, like, you know, you can buy a Lamar. Anybody can buy a Lamar Jackson jersey. I have Pat Ricard and Marlon Humphrey in my closet currently. Like, those, you got to find those. And, yeah, as soon as it becomes a little bit more readily available and the price comes down, that black 92 is getting purchased almost immediately.
And you could do in the interim those, you know, those T-shirts that have the, like, Jordan and Pippen, and it's all the names of, like, famous teams. I would just do the 92s and just put Matabike and Nada and Kimoyatu.
Yes.
And Kafusu, the legend of Bronson Kafusu, and just kind of see who picks up on that last name of the 92s as to why they're on that list. But I feel like the T-shirt's got to be a cheaper move in the interim, at least. You can even make that yourself. But I do have one more question about Matabike, and that's kind of the looking forward on this deal. I have a tiny amount of, not concern, but skepticism in that, do I think he's ever going to hit 13 sacks again? No. Do I think he's going to hit 10 sacks again? No, not really. He had 33 QB hits last season. Do I think he's going to come close to that again? No, not really. But does it matter, I guess, is my question. Is his position, will he still be excelling at that position if he's doing the 7-8 sacks per season, getting 40 tackles, you know, the QB hits get cut in half, but he's still just the presence inside that then pushes, you know, pushes the quarterback outside and the sacks are gotten by other people. We've complained so many times. We like players who get the quarterback on the ground. One of Jace's best quotes on Pod Like a Raven. If this sack total gets cut in half, which I think could easily happen for this type of position and like being in the right place at the right time, is it still a good deal? Is he still going to, can he make it worth this amount of money based on the position and just anchoring the defensive line?
I would say absolutely, because what he does is frees up other people because of the presence and the havoc that he causes. And I'll also disagree with you, because I think 13 sacks is achievable, and I also think that it could go higher. Like, I'm just, again, I'm a stupid football fan. I'm not analytics boy. I'm not, like, I don't watch the All-22, whatever. When I watch Justin Madubuike play, my eyes gravitate towards him because he looks how Aaron Donald looks in the middle of that defensive line for the Rams, or how he did look. Congratulations on your retirement, Mr. Donald. As Kyler Murray said, thank God, in all caps on Twitter, which is hilarious. His ability to eat up blockers but then shed blockers, how quick he is, how heavy his hands are. It feels like he's fighting with cinder blocks all the time when he's batting offensive linemen around. You know, I know the question is, if those numbers don't, you know, can't replicate those numbers, is it still worth it? I would say yes, but also the amendment of, I think those are replicable. Like, I think I do. This is the most optimistic I am about a Ravens player, I think, which is kind of insane. But yeah, I'm all in, and I think that we're going to see, you know, obviously I'm not saying Aaron Donald, one of the greatest defensive players of all time, but we are going to see a Donald-esque impact for a guy in the middle of a defense just constantly eating people up. You know, something that the Ravens fans legitimately haven't seen since Haloti Ngata, I think is what's coming here.
And I think even if the numbers dip, you know, if he's still disruptive and the sack total dips, I think he's still doing like what his job is. I think if he stays sort of on the trajectory he's on or floats around that kind of, you know, impact, that he's still, I think, one of the more premier guys at the position, especially now with Donald leaving the league. You know, I mean, I think with this contract, right, and with now Donald retiring, I think he's top three, right? Three or four. So he's paid like one of the top in the league. And so if he can still have that impact, I think it matters. And I think Donald, a guy like Donald, kind of showed, like, you know, with the way the NFL has gone with like the quick passing game and stuff, the quickest way to the quarterback, it's right up that middle. And so if Madubuike can even just pressure from up the middle, as Tim said, it frees up other guys. You know, I think his presence probably helps a guy like Kyle Van Noy get a career high in sacks, helps a guy like Clowney match his career high. I think, you know, I lean more your side, Antonio. I'm kind of thinking he might hover around like 9 sacks, 10 sacks. It's hard to see him ripping off, you know, historic, never-before-achieved sack run like he did last season. But you know, to Tim's point though, he has improved every year. So who's to say like what his ceiling is really? He's entering like his absolute athletic prime right now. So, and by all accounts, he seems to be a guy dedicated to it. I mean, I'm furiously knocking on wood over here. He's been durable to this point. So I think it is a worthy investment. And certainly of all the defensive guys they had, you know, I entered the offseason kind of and just bring him back, whatever happens, happens. And the fact that they were able to lock him up, not just for next season, but the next few, I think's a win. And, you know, it's the NFL. It's hard to say. Deals we thought have been great have not, you know, I think we're all giving A++ marks to the Marcus Williams signing a few years ago. That just hasn't quite worked out how we thought. And maybe this year will be different for him. But on the whole, I think as we stand today, it's hard to hate this deal. I think just getting it done and getting him locked up and what he means to the team. And I forget which one of you guys said it, but just it is nice to like you know, lock up the homegrown talent. And it does always feel like, you know, when the Ravens do kind of to kind of what we were talking about with Tim buying the jersey, like when the Ravens tag or target like one of these guys and extend them, you're like, this is the core. These are the players whose jerseys you buy, who you can know to cheer for year over year over year, like Marlon Humphrey and, you know, now Roquan Smith and now Justin Madubuike and Lamar Jackson. And that's like
and
your
Pat
core.
Ricard.
So, and Pat Ricard. Like literally Pat Ricard, like one of the third longest men, like tenured members of the team, like not even a joke. So it is nice, you know, in a sport that changes all the time too, just as a kind of dumb fan take, I guess. But it is nice to just kind of have the same guys around. And Justin Madubuike is a fun guy to cheer for because he is fun to watch, you know, wrangling quarterbacks and stuff. This past season in particular, it was a lot of fun. So I'm glad he's back. And it you know, we'll talk in a second about every other free agent they lost, which is basically everyone else. But they didn't lose him. So that's a good thing.
Speaking of fun to watch, let's go to the other side of the ball where the Ravens signed Derrick Henry. We're going to talk about it. I think you two have a bit more on this than I do, but it's a 2-year deal. It looks like a 2-year, $16 million deal. It's really like a 1-year deal. There's a potential out after 1 year. But the biggest thing for me, outside of the details and the stats, and I'll let you guys carry, it's just weird. I'm weirded out by this deal, and I'm not really sure why. It has been talked about forever, I feel like, that he was a potential Raven. Apparently, the Ravens tried to trade for him mid-season. They got him now aggressively. They got a running back aggressively, which I don't think the Ravens have done ever. I'm trying to think. They got Ingram, but I feel like that was not like a day one, day two kind of free agent deal, if I remember correctly. And I don't understand it, I suppose. I can't picture him in the uniform. He feels like a titan. He feels like a rival, like a guy that we hated and feared in equal measure. And now he's just on the Ravens, and he's like RB1, just the perfect complement, I guess, to Lamar Jackson. I don't understand. I'm still processing. I guess it's a safe short-term deal here, and it's going to be amazing to see him. What is he, 6'8"? Like, in the backfield, week one is going to be like, oh my gosh, what is happening? But for me, it's just this, like, an odd fit, having nothing to do with X's and O's. It's an odd fit that we got this 30-year-old Titans running back that haunted our dreams year in, year out, and now he's just on the Ravens. What's going on?
I was stunned at the overwhelming outpour of positivity for this deal. And I'm gonna take you on a little bit of a journey, which is typically what I do on this show, and aimlessly wander in monologue over and over and over again. But I like this free agency's coming up, and I have friends at work who are, you know, not Ravens fans, and obviously Ravens fan friends who talk about it, and I think you two are the only two that were like not just going, oh my God, if they get Derrick Henry, it's over. Like, Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson is going to be awesome. Everybody, Patriots fans, Titans fans, I don't know any Jaguars fans, other Ravens fans, like, everybody was all in. And I don't know why, but I felt like you, Antonio. I was a bit reserved. Older running back, 30 years old, is not really, like, is good at shedding tackles, but has never been a good short yardage guy compared to like a Gus Edwards. I spoke this to coworkers saying I would rather have Gus Edwards. I've since changed my tune on that just a little bit, which we'll get into. And then you read some things, you know, I'm pulling this article, I think this was on ESPN when I was reading a free agent recap. Obviously he's 30 years old, which is interesting. Here's a stat according to NFL Next Gen stats data. He recorded just 4.2 yards per carry last season and just 0.3 rush yards over expectation per carry. So basically doing better than what was expected, what he was given. Actually, that last part, the expected rush yards over expectation, has been in decline for a while. The last time he exceeded 0.3 was 2020, when he had a ridiculous 1 yard rush yard over expectation. But he also recorded 2.2 yards per carry after contact, making the most of any running back with at least 100 carries last season. He was in his age 29 season and led the league in carries for a bad football team with 280. running backs are typically known to, like, you know, usually they're well into retirement in their 30s. They break down quickly. This is not a slow, gradual, like, thing. And then I saw the memes. And then I saw the posts of, you know, Derrick Henry when he meets Patrick Queen next season. It's just a Mack truck running over a feather. Like, and then I see the Ravens put out this highlight package of, and just with the crown emoji, and it's all these old highlights, some of them from the pandemic because there's no people in the stands. And I just didn't care. I watched him level Josh Norman, a clip that over in my, again, this is a clip that's like 4 years old at this point when Josh Norman was playing for the Bills. He stiff arms him. And I remember coming on this podcast and saying that stiff arm was incredibly overrated because Josh Norman was going the other. Not anymore. No sorry, Bob. Derrick Henry's the best stiff armer out of the entire. I'm jacked up. And Antonio, I completely disagree with you on the jersey thing. I think him in the all black with like the black sleeves and the dreadlocks coming out of the hair and just the pitch black visor that even if you were right up against Derrick Henry as he's running you over to get into the fourth touchdown of the game, you wouldn't be able to see his eyes. I think it's going to overwhelmingly, or not overwhelmingly, I think at the end of the day, this is probably not going to be a smashing success like everybody's predicting. But I can't, in a weird way, I have turned around so much from where I was at. Maybe I'm just being swept up in all the smarter people than me, the Mina Kimeses of the world and the Bill Barnwells and the Nate Tices and all these people that are really good about football being like, oh my God, this is football porn, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. And then I start to buy in. So maybe it's that, but I was initially skeptical. I won't be surprised if this doesn't work out. I don't think it would be a disaster by any stretch of the imagination, barring any sort of injury. But I got swept up in the memes. And for that, I just, it's exciting, man. It is, and I know Jace is even probably higher than me. It is cool to see this freaking unicorn of a player that we have been scared of, as Antonio so rightly pointed out, has watched rip-off runs for a team that we dislike, and all of a sudden, he just comes to Baltimore. And if he's anything like an Anquan Boldin or a Steve Smith, you know, a later year guy coming in here for the twilight years and dominating, boy, it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I made a quick within 24 to 48 hours pivot to being all in on this too, Tim. I think the first thing I did send to you guys was I said I don't get it because I do think there are other areas in need that the Ravens need more that we've talked about ad nauseum, including, and we'll get into this more in a minute, they have two starting offensive linemen at the moment.
Yeah, it's a problem.
So there's that. So the things to figure out. Defensive line, we've talked about with Clowney and Van Noy likely out the door. All that, cornerback room, etc. But within, I think, I saw the memes like Tim. I saw the footage, and it just, it's so encouraging and so exciting, and I cannot wait to watch it. It's just something, I had a vision of like the first time he bounces off a guy and then just starts running like 30 yards downfield in the open field, and he's gonna do it in the first, second, or third week of the season, and it's gonna be super, super exciting. And I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it at all. And that has me excited for the season, despite all the questions. And I think there are good questions. I mean, you brought up the workload, Tim. He's led the league in touches or in attempts 4 of the last 5 seasons. He has just gotten the ball an insane amount. I mean, 280 last season is the lowest he's had of those 4 out of 5 years, excluding the 2021 season when he got hurt, when he had 219 carries in 8 games. He was on pace for like 400 carries and like 2,500 yards when he got hurt. So, you know, he has gotten the ball a lot. But I think, too, he does to, like, you mentioned, like, the football nerds and how they like the sort of union with Lamar. I think he does serve a need. Clearly, they'd made the decision to part ways with Gus Edwards, and that sucks. I know we all love Gus. I think, you know, they never have formalized this, but clearly J.K. Dobbins' time in Baltimore was over. And Keaton Mitchell's not going to be back until October, November, when he got hurt in December, right? So, and it seemed like a not great knee injury. So their running back was Justice Hill. They had one running back on the roster that was healthy. It was Justice Hill. And it's not a great draft for running backs, supposedly. You know, I still think you can draft a guy like Trey Benson or whatever in like the third or fourth round, and he'll be fine. But clearly they wanted more, and I kind of think back to the AFC title game when they didn't run the ball at all and wonder if that was just a lack of trust in the guys they had in the backfield. So if there's one thing you can say about Derrick Henry, you can trust him. He almost never fumbles, so knock on wood that continues, given the Ravens' recent fumbling issues with running backs. But I'm excited to see it. I think just because it's new, his style, it's just going to be... I hope it's fun to watch. Certainly no guarantees, but I am excited to see it. I do think it solves some problems for them. The idea of, you know, having a guy like Derrick Henry alongside Lamar, certainly the most talented running back and best running back he's played with, you know, no offense to the Bus or Mark Ingram or any of those guys, J.K. when he was healthy. Derrick Henry is like a potential Hall of Famer. You know, he's, what, seven straight years now? Six straight years? Yeah, six straight years of double-digit touchdowns. Five out of 6 years with over 1,000 yards. He was second in the NFL in rushing last season, despite all the Titans' own offensive line problems. So I am fired up. I have concerns. There's other parts of our offense that I still think probably, you know, you could invest this in. But I don't think they gave him a crazy contract. In fact, like, you know, he was a day two signing. They didn't sprint out and sign him on day one. And guys like Josh Jacobs and some of these other guys, I thought Saquon, I kind of wanted Saquon, I'll admit. I thought Saquon probably matches what we should be doing more. But I think Derrick Henry has proven he's one of the best running backs in the NFL.
But he doesn't look like a Raven, Jason, the thing that I keep seeing. I'll just go quickly here because I know we're belaboring the point a little bit. The Keaton Mitchell thing has not been talked about enough. Jace nailed it because it's like people are like, oh, this is the ultimate thunder and lightning combo. We loved Keaton Mitchell when he was there. Keaton Mitchell's not going to be back for the start of the year, and they probably won't be using him till, like, I don't know, November when he's fully healthy and they finally trust him again. So let's cool the Jets on that a little bit. I do think the Ravens, though, are not going to go full Mike Vrabel and just slam their head into the Derrick Henry wall over and over again. They have Lamar Jackson. They have Justice Hill, who they did trust last year a little bit. But I'll tell you this. If you can get a backfield, a couple different options here. We'll start with the one that I don't like as much, and then you're definitely going to know where I'm going the other way. Lamar Jackson flanked by Derrick Henry and Keaton Mitchell, and he's got the option to go to either of them at either time or take it himself. There's some fun stuff that Todd Monken, if he decides to run the ball, see, it does still hurt, can do with that. The other one, too, I know he's not the best short yardage back, but guess who's opening holes for Derrick Henry now? Pancake Pat Ricard. Pancake Pat Ricard and Derrick Henry in the same backfield. Every fourth and one is going for 60 yards because they're going to try and get in close. Pat Ricard's going to clean some guy out. Whoever the hell's playing left guard is going to pull and knock somebody out of the A-gap, and Derrick Henry's gone, mashing over that little tiny overrated, completely useless linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers now. So I just think it's aesthetically, it's just exciting, and I can't wait.
Yeah, the bad.
Yeah.
2,030 career rushing attempts. 2,030 career rushing attempts. The good. He will not lead the NFL in carries this year. He will not have 280 carries. He won't have 300. I don't think he's going to have 200 carries, to be quite honest. I think he's going to be like a 14 carries per game kind of guy, and I hope that math doesn't get me over 200. But
I'll do it real quick on my calculator.
But what did all I can think of is the Ravens game from last season, Ravens Titans. Where am I at, Jace? What was it looking like?
I have some horrible news. 14 times 17 is 238.
So he'll be like a 240 carry kind of back. You know, lighten the load a little bit. No, but what I do think he is going to be is like the game that he had against the Ravens last season. He had like 13 or 14 carries. they made the entire priority stopping him all game because they had Ryan Tannehill as the quarterback, and they were not a very good football team offensively. And then by carry, they'd done a great job. He'd gotten like 3 yards a pop all game. And then all of a sudden, bang, 60-yard run. And he, I can't remember if he scored or almost scored. He scored on like the play after. And that is what they're going to be looking for. Just like Tim mentioned, the home run ball, that's going to be there all the time. The short yardage stuff. There's some things to like here that he doesn't have to be. The 280 carry, 1,500-yard guy from when he was, you know, 24, 25, 26. But he's a plug-and-play starter. He's gonna look terrifying. And, yeah, will be a kind of a step up at the position. And it's very exciting. Very exciting. And it not being the biggest expense also. It's the right player, right price. Like, yeah, there's some questions about the age and the workload. It's a two-year deal. They can get out of it after one. The money's not crazy, and the potential is still there for him to kind of bounce back with, you know, with the Ravens as opposed to what he had with the Titans last year.
With Will Levis and Tannehill, he's playing with the MVP now, so should face some lighter boxes. And that could help Lamar, there. So,
absolutely.
You know, win-win, potentially.
All right, let's look at the rest of, because that's about it as it comes to the Ravens additions. But I'm going to run through some other things that have happened, basically. Just going to go through them quickly. Some RIPs, some like, it was fun. We had some good times. Maybe I'll text you again in a couple of years. But there are some names that stuck and a lot of names that didn't. So I'm going to run through them and then let my co-hosts kind of give their, you know, whatever flowers that they want to give out to certain players. But so first of all, the re-signs are Madubuike, as we mentioned, Josh Johnson, because of course, Malik Harrison, Nelson Agholor, and then Brent Urban. It's the best list of players for, like, who do you think the Ravens could bring back? Outside of Madubuike, they're all one-year deals. I haven't seen the numbers on Urban, but Johnson, Harrison, Agholor, one-year deals, pretty cheap. And can do some good stuff for the team. So that's all just hilarious and very fun. players released Tyus Bowser, a weird 2023, injured, question marks, not a lot of information coming out of the team or out of the player. He gets released, and the cut saves the Ravens $5.5 million against the cap. Then Morgan Moses traded to the New York Jets. Seems odd, seems a bit weird to me based on the needs that this team has on the offensive line, but that feels like getting out of it 1 year early to try to get a little bit of draft capital back as opposed to nothing. And then the players who signed elsewhere. Gus Edwards, 2 year deal with the Chargers. Geno Stone, 2 year deal with the Bengals. Duvernay, 2 year deal with the Jags. Ronald Darby, 2 year deal with the Jags as well. Tyler Ott, We had such a great time that 1 year, Tyler. 1 year deal with the Commanders. The left guard, John Simpson, 2 year deal with the Jets. There's a pattern there. Delshon Phillips, 1 year deal with the Texans. Patrick Queen, 3 year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then Tyler Huntley recently signing a 1 year deal with the Browns. Some of this stuff is notable, some less so. But feel free to take a few minutes here. There's a lot of names going out as opposed to the names coming in. But, helicopter view of this. What are your thoughts on the players out and how you're going to look back and how the team is going to move forward?
Well, I feel like, especially before the Henry signing, so that first day of free agency, I feel like there was just a lot of doom and gloom on Ravens Twitter. And it was a lot of cry, like seeing these names fly off, but like, I don't want to be mean, I guess, but like no one you just said, I feel like is going to like alter the destiny of the Ravens. Really? I think there's a lot of solid players on this list. Patrick Queen was a good player. I don't think he's going to have success in Pittsburgh. And in fact, I think Steelers fans are going to be extremely annoyed at Patrick Queen not playing next to Roquan Smith for the reasons we were annoyed with him for 3.5 years before Roquan Smith, or 2.5 years before Roquan Smith showed up. And, you know, he got paid and we knew he was gone. That's the thing. I think it's just the fact that Queen signed with the Steelers kind of broke some people's brains because, like, I saw people getting, like, legitimately mad. It's like, we knew he wasn't coming back. The second they gave Roquan Smith that contract, Patrick Queen was never playing a snap past his rookie contract with the Ravens. So, you know, he's probably, like, the most impact player that's gone. I think the one I could speak for all of us we're probably saddest about is Gus Edwards, but I get it. It was time. That obviously writing was on the wall when they didn't hammer out a deal ahead of time to do some dead cap stuff. It's very funny that Jim Harbaugh is kind of, in some small ways, getting the band back together for the Ravens because Gus Edwards goes to the Chargers, where Greg Roman, if we haven't, if that hadn't happened since we did a show, Greg Roman is now the offensive coordinator of the Chargers.
And they got rid of all of their wide receivers, so Gus is going to have a number of opportunities.
Out any wide receiver who's good for the Chargers in Gus Edwards, Hayden Hurst, and Bradley Bozeman, who they signed today. So kind of bringing some Ravens old faces familiar with Greg Roman back to Southern California. So that's kind of funny. You know, I think it was time for Gus. I think injuries, you know, I mean, they still should have given him the ball more last season. He still probably finished right around his normal yards per carry. I know it had dipped a little bit, but he was a great player for first, you know, 5-6 years. So he's probably the one that's saddest to see go. And I think, honestly, of this list, the one that matters the most of somehow is John Simpson, a guy they took a flyer on and brought in and then was your starting left guard for all 19 games you played last season. So they'll obviously they have to replace him in some way. I think he might end up having the biggest impact of the guys who have gone out. But yeah, personally, Gus, saddest to see go. Queen, it's annoying he's signing with the Steelers because I'm sure he'll somehow find a way to like pick Lamar off in a game or something. But outside of that, I don't think they're gonna miss him too much. If Trenton Simpson's anything, and then yeah, Tyler Huntley, they decided I guess Josh Johnson's their backup. I don't really know what to read into that. But you know, we talked about Huntley when we'd seen him. I think this past season at times and. Particularly that final game against the Steelers. And I think we'd all have kind of soured on him a little bit. So I don't know that it's necessarily bad to be searching for a different QB2. I also don't know if that QB2 should be a 38 or 39-year-old Josh Johnson, however old Josh Johnson is these days. He's closing in on 40 fast. So that was weird. But yeah, on the whole, it's a lot of names, but I don't know that it's anyone. Like, I still think, like, maybe collectively we lose, what, one total win? I don't know, war? I don't even know how you frame it. But it's a lot of names out, but I all the big stars are still on the Ravens. So, I don't know. This is what good teams do. You have to replace players like this.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Tyler Ott is just going to be such a blow. No, I'm kidding.
Nick Moore, back.
Yeah, the overarching thing here, I agree with Jace, is just it's not that bad. If I'm running through this list quickly, you know, and I'll do a little bit more on some of these guys later. Gus Edwards, running back getting up there. Geno Stone, the third safety who was going to get overpaid for having picks last year, some of them that were thrown right at him. Devin Duvernay, never lived up to the offensive potential, even though maybe last year you can argue he didn't get the opportunities. Ronald Darby, solid rotation outside corner who helped them kick Marlon Humphrey inside a little bit, was a nice surprise, got paid for it. 2 years, $10 million for Ronald Darby. I'll pass. Tyler Ott, he's a long snapper. John Simpson was the guy that nobody really thought was going to be the left guard. It was the weak spot on the entire offense. Shows up, plays pretty well, gets overpaid for it. Delshawn Phillips, don't even know who that is. Patrick Queen, we'll get to him in a second, and Tyler Huntley. Good for Tyler Huntley, I guess, you know, being Deshaun's backup rather than his buddy Lamar's. It's fine, whatever. The backup QB thing I think is interesting because clearly we saw the importance of backup quarterbacks last year because so many guys got hurt, but the Ravens are just zagging on that again and saying, nope, we're good. If Lamar's hurt, we're screwed anyway, which is great for a guy that, you know, typically can't stay healthy. You know, I don't really need to speak about anybody else. We'll get to the offensive line here in a little bit. Excuse me. Gus Edwards is so sad. Gus is a guy that, even though he wasn't, like, you know, always under contract, always under a long contract, you got the jersey. because Gus was in the embodiment of a Raven, and you know, the Gus bus and constantly averaging like 6 yards a carry and stuff. Like, I hope he gets his due in LA and kind of becomes their bell cow back, because he was always the Ravens bell cow back, and they never gave him the credit for being said bell cow back. And then I want to do a little bit on Patrick Queen, because I think overall, this 3-year, $41 million deal that is essentially just a 1-year deal, the Steelers can get out of it after 1 year, and I believe the cap hit is like $7 million if they cut it short, shows you what everybody in the National Football League thinks of Patrick Queen. This man was was he first team All-Pro or at least second team All-Pro? I believe he was second team All-Pro because Fred Warner was in there as well. A Pro Bowler, outrageous numbers. But anybody that had watched Patrick Queen knew that Patrick Queen was undoubtedly a miss on a first-round pick until Roquan Smith got in there. I get it. The Steelers need a middle linebacker. I get it. They kind of have a guy who can play the quarterback of the defense in Minkah Fitzpatrick. But if you're asking Patrick Queen to be your green dot, organize the defense guy, that ain't it, Chief. Like, I know you've been searching for a middle linebacker since James Ferrier, but like, it's just not coming. I pulled that one out completely out of the sky there.
Sadly, that's the exact guy I was thinking of, yeah, too. I was like, I don't think they've had a good quarter.
Middle linebacker since Ferrier. Yeah, he was legit. But
Lawrence Timmons.
Yep, not bad. Patrick Queen is not that guy. Patrick Queen is a perfect second guy. He is a disruptor. He's a see ball, hit ball, how hard do I run, let's play fast and not think about things too much. And that's fine. But you know what? This whole mantra that he literally said, I'm can't wait to play the villain role against the Ravens, when you got paid well below what you thought your market value was, this is fan me coming out. This football, it's a business. He goes to the Steelers, fine, whatever. I don't love it. I wish he would have gone anywhere else, because just the existential dread of him, you know, sacking Lamar 4 times in one game or something. But then doing the whole, like, I'm going to play the villain. I'm going to be this bad guy. Like, I get you're trying to act it up and you're trying to G up your new fans, and that's fine. But just from my point of view, just like, shut up, man. Like, you already know you pissed everybody off by going to the eternal enemy. Like, you don't have to keep doing that. But hey, maybe you do. Good luck with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Just have a ball, Patrick, because you've only played with Lamar Jackson in your NFL career. You've constantly had leads. You don't know what it's like to be in the mud. And Steelers fans, you are going to find out real quickly what you have. A good player, not a great player, and by no measure a quality number one starting middle linebacker.
Well, and, you know, not to pump Steelers fans up too much, but they know what good middle linebackers look like. They've had a lot of them over the years, you know. Jack Lambert, Greg Lloyd.
James Ferrier.
James Ferrier, like some literal Hall of Famers, some very, very talented players, too. And, yeah, he's, like, going to whiff a tackle or something, or they're going to, like...
You like over-pursuit, Pittsburgh? Because it's coming.
Yeah. Yeah,
like being bad in pass coverage, Pittsburgh? It's coming. Mark Andrews on Patrick Queen, guys. Pat Ricard on Patrick Queen. I know who's winning that fight. And guess who it is? It's the guy in purple, not the guy in gold or whatever the hell they wear these things.
And, you know, Lamar said this all tongue-in-cheek, and he said it about Geno Stone, too. But I choose to believe he was serious. And so, to quote Lamar, you're dead to us. You're dead to me. That's what I said to Patrick Queen.
Or Isaiah likely going and said, congrats on the bag, Brody. Love you for life. I can't wait for you to go 0-17. Shout out Isaiah Likely. Again, Isaiah Likely, Patrick Queen. I'm taking Isaiah Likely.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so I know there, you know, there are media narratives, there are fan narratives that, oh, the Ravens draft are the best in the business, and Ravens front office, they're playing checkers, everybody else is playing chess. I'm going to present some hard evidence here as to why the Ravens front office is so good at this, why they are playing checkers as opposed to chess. Nope, playing chess as opposed to checkers. There we go. And unlike the math that I did previously, I got a calculator out for this one to prove a point. And it has happened yet again. It happens seemingly every year, and here we are doing this all over again. Last offseason, they signed a bunch of fringe veterans to small, low-risk deals, and then saw which of them exceeded their role, where they got some kind of standout play from. Then this offseason, other teams paid those same players medium-sized deals, expecting them to have major roles on their teams. Some of them may work out, but the difference is that what the Ravens got was above value for the contract, while these new teams, now they're going to need these players to keep that level or improve to break even in terms of value, which is not guaranteed in the NFL, in professional sports, or in business. Geno Stone got 2 years, $15 million. Ronald Darby got 2 years, $10 million. DuVernay, 2 years, $12.5 million if he hits, you know, some of the incentives or whatever. John Simpson, 2 years, $9 million. In 2023, the Ravens paid those players a grand total of $9.27 million. You know, big alert here. I might be off by a few hundred thousand. You know, so these contracts can be complicated. But in terms of round numbers, they paid those guys about $9 or $10 million total for 2023. In 2024, those same players will earn approximately $27.75 million. These are not first round draft picks that did well on their rookie deals and then got the big money elsewhere. These are veterans, almost exclusively veterans who came to the Ravens, got like minimum deals, and then played hard and played well. They're now making three times the amount as the same dudes, not like 23, 24 years old. Some of them are close to 30. And I will bet you that the majority of them do not have as good a season next year as they did last season for the Ravens. That is how the Ravens do business over and over and over again. They say, they shake their hands, they look them in the eye, they say, thank you very much, this was a great pleasure, good luck finding good deals, take that money elsewhere. And boy, are there teams that will do it, tripping over themselves to make these kind of moves. And it's how the Ravens are good. You look at the Madubuike deal. They got him 4 years, $98 million, 26 years old. The Raiders then signed Christian Wilkins as a free agent. He's 28 years old. Does not have the Pro Bowl Madubuike has, does not have the second team All-Pro that Madubuike has. They paid him more money. Wilkins got 4 years for $110 million. Why? Why does he get 12 more million? I mean, he's a good player. Very, very good player. The Ravens got their guy for what I would say is a $12 million discount when you look at the two players. Then there's teams like Washington. And I'm bringing them up intentionally. I know we have some listeners that may be Commanders fans. This is not to kind of rub salt in the wound, but it's just too good of an example to not bring up. Washington gave Austin Eckler
a 2-year deal. They're going to pay him $5 million next season, just for next season, to be a backup running back after coming off of the worst season of his career, where he averaged 3.5 yards per carry. There were multiple clips of him running in the open field like he's got a refrigerator on his back. The speed is gone. The burst is gone. That's how you get to 3.5 yards per carry. They couldn't use a late-round draft pick or an undrafted rookie to fill the backup running back role, where the money on a 4-year contract would have been less than that $5 million that they gave to Austin Ekeler. It doesn't make any sense. And they did that. They, like, leapt to that deal. He's not going to suddenly have the burst that he lost healthy last season. It's not going to happen. And giving him $5 million is insane to me compared to just get a 7th-round draft pick, give him a 4-year, $4 million deal, and he's probably going to be able to get 3.5 yards per carry. It is crazy how bad some of these teams are with these small moves that, yeah, sure, that $5 million deal is not going to sink the Commanders next season. But when you put them all together, that's how you get the Ravens paying 4 guys $9 million for a season and get starts and snaps and then watch them leave for 3 times that amount. That's what the Ravens do. They're so good at it. And we're very, very fortunate. Just like we're very, very fortunate to have Lamar Jackson as a quarterback compared to other teams, we're very fortunate to have a front office that, I don't even know, they don't get emotional, they don't panic, they're calm, they have a plan, they stick to it, and they're successful almost every year. And that's kind of my main takeaway on how free agency went again for the Ravens in the NFL.
And on this too, before we get to some other stuff and headlines, the Ravens aren't done. Like, this is now where the Ravens get these guys. Jadeveon Clowney, Kyle Van Noy, which is into the season. Wait until some tackle gets cut in August. Bryant McKinney comes to mind. Like, and I know that's an example from a long time ago. The Ravens, they went and were aggressive with the guy that they really wanted in Derrick Henry, a guy who they've clearly, it's been reported, have wanted since for years now. I think ever since that he ripped their hearts out in 2019-2020 season. that's when they, you know, wanted him, which is understandable, I guess. And now they do the work on the fringes. Do not be surprised if we have to come back with an episode sooner than we thought because the Ravens have made some move that's like, oh, yeah, okay, there we go. Like, little things that kind of make sense that end up making an impact. And you know what? Yeah, maybe it sounds like we're gloating a little bit, or maybe it sounds like we have too much trust in the organization. I've watched this team do this since 1996. Like, they've done this the entire time they've been a franchise. And, like, you know, I don't want to keep picking on Washington, and we love our Washington listeners, but they signed a lot of guys. And you know what? Washington needed to sign a decent amount of guys. They had a lot of holes to fill, and some of the moves they made were shrewd. But who's one of the 4 teams that wins the offseason every year? It's the Washington football team. Like, never forget Albert Haynesworth, Adam Archuleta. Like, and I know I'm going way, way back here now, but that always happens. Then it's just the same thing over and over. Now, again, I tend to think that they're on the uptick now, which is good. Congratulations, and hopefully, I'm sure that one of the 2 quarterbacks that they have to pick at 2, I'm sure the guy in New England won't end up being better. I'm sure that's going to happen. I'm sure that Jaden Daniels or Drake May, whichever one you pick, is going to be the good one. But I just love the way the Ravens do this, and I think it's funny in the era that we live now. I think we have a lot of Ravens fans that are on the bandwagon because of Lamar Jackson. And I think they don't understand how this necessarily works. And then a lot of people just like to tweet nonsense because they want people mad at them. And you look at the list of what the Ravens have lost so far. Yes, there are absolute concerns, which we are going to get to later. But it ain't that bad for what we thought was coming. Justin Madubuike and Derrick Henry are on this team. Like, if you're telling me I had to trade everything that they have lost currently for those 2 guys, guess what? As of right now, as currently constructed, and with the knowledge that, 1, we have 9 picks in the NFL draft, and 2, that there's going to be some veteran that falls off the wagon, and that's not an alcohol joke, literally falls off the cart and the Ravens pick him up for cheap, you know, back of the truck type of stuff, all of a sudden it's missing, it's gone, and now they're on the Ravens. that stuff is still going to happen. So I like where we sit currently as a Baltimore Ravens fan.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many mistakes made on free agency, like the first few days of free agency. And I think, you know, as fans, it's exciting when your team does stuff. But usually, if they're doing too much stuff, they're doing the wrong stuff. Like, I just looked, if you could just kind of go through and scroll like the free agency tracker NFL.com has, you come across a team like the Jags, who, you know, I believe, Antonio, you mentioned, signed two of the Ravens free agents. They signed Eric Armstead. They signed a whole bunch of guys.
Gabe Davis.
Ezra Cleveland. Like, they're just giving out money.
Jones.
Like, they did trade for Mac Jones for reasons that are unclear. Teams like that do a ton of stuff. And it's like, it's a twofold. A team that's super involved in free agency usually A is bad at drafting, which is a problem in and of itself, and then B, you're usually overpaying guys to get guys in the building. And like you said, what you guys said, like the Ravens said, we want Derrick Henry, so they signed Derrick Henry, and then all the other signings they've made outside of re-signing Matt Ibike is literally just bringing back Harbs guys. Malik Harrison, one of like their top special teams guys. Brent Urban, who's on like his third or fourth tour of duty with the Ravens at this point. Like, he just has guys he likes, and you know, Aguilar's fine, you know, whatever, they need like a fourth wide receiver. So, you know, it's boring, but like Tim nailed it. Like, they are going to sign a guy. They might be in the mix for a guy like, you know, Tyler Boyd or someone, like a receiver maybe. They might bring back, they just might wait out the market and like bring back Kyle Van Noy or Jadeveon Clowney. Like, if those guys don't land anywhere in the next like few weeks, they're like, things are going to go quiet for a little bit, and there's not going to be a big signing until we get closer to training camp. And that's when the Ravens, you know, they wait out the comp picks and all that, and you know, and then they'll make a signing. So yeah, so it might seem boring, but it's smart, and I'd rather the team have a boring offseason and a good season. And I would even argue the offseason's not been boring. They signed Derrick Henry and their best defensive player. Like, how's that boring? I think it's one of their more eventful offseasons in a while outside of, you know, re-signing Lamar last season. So, yeah, you know, I think you just illustrated it so well, Antonio. There's just so much error and weird stuff going on. And I even thought I mentioned it with the Henry stuff, but, you know, all these running backs, they were like the story of day one of free agency. Saquon going to the Eagles, and then Josh Jacobs on the move, and all these guys, Eckler moving around. And then the guy who's been the actual like best running back probably in the NFL the last 6 years just signs on day two for like a modest price with a team who's one of them. And so it's just, you know, smart process. And I think is why, as you guys said, this team's competitive year in, year out. You know, barring catastrophe, they're going to win 10 games next year, probably, the way the roster looks. So, I think people do like to just complain on Twitter, but some of the complaints, I think, were just kind of insane, frankly, this offseason, because I think they've had a great offseason, all things considered, knowing going into it that they're losing a ton of guys because they signed their quarterback to a contract that pays them $50 million a year. These things are going to happen when you have that sort of player on your books. And you know what? You know, we talked about it. Lamar won the MVP making $50 million a year. So, like, you could build around it. The team went 13-4 with a $50 million quarterback, not on his rookie contract. Things are possible. So, it's a good team. They do things well. And, yeah, I'm excited to see. You know, we might have to wait a while, but eventually they'll add some more pieces, and it'll be interesting to see what those are.
When is the NFL draft? April? That's when they will add.
April 25th. That's when the first round starts. So.
All right, let's spend a few minutes on the other bananas thing that's been happening in the NFL. The QB hopabout. A lot of players moving around. A lot of mediocre players moving around, which is maybe the more fun part of this. Cousins to Atlanta. I don't know what to make of that. It's a lot of money for like what feels like the exact line of like an average, or like maybe what is the quarterback above the line of what an average quarterback is. He's old. I don't know. He's got a lot of weapons. He's indoors again. Who knows? Then there's the fun just list. Minshew to Oakland, Locke to the Giants, Tyrod to the Jets, Darnold to Minnesota, Jimmy G to the Rams, I don't know who of them plays. I don't know what starts there are to be had, but a ton of movement. These guys all need new places, and I'm sure that's going to go great. The Pats getting rid of Mac Jones mercifully, looking to start over. The Vikings trading for an extra first-round pick, which has smelled like a future move for them of packaging those two picks to move into the top three to maybe get a quarterback of their own. Quarterback movement everywhere. And I haven't even talked about the Pittsburgh Steelers yet, getting not one bad quarterback, but two. that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. It's like just two different ages of mediocrity and incomplete passes, and I'm confused about all of it. So let's start with the Steelers. I said what's going on earlier. What's going on? This is what appears to be not a race, but a sprint to mediocrity. An absolute 100-yard dash to winning nine games year in, year out. And I don't get it, because in the NFL, as in a lot of other sports, you want to be in two places. One of two. You want to be really, really good, or you kind of want to be really, really bad. And them just constantly winning nine games and keeping that Tomlin streak alive that we used to hate and now we kind of love, because it keeps him there, it keeps the structure intact, and they don't really do much as a 9-8 team. What are they doing here? What is the goal? What is the solution to actually having a top-tier quarterback to make runs in the postseason?
I'll just say this. Yeah. I'll let you go here. I'll just say this. You kind of nailed it. There's a guy there who loves winning over 500, like having an over 500 record and winning nine games a year, and he likes to keep his job. And you know what this does? Russell Wilson might not keep his job. I think legitimately Justin Fields is starting by early October, because I think Russell Wilson's going to come in. George Pickens is going to throw a helmet at him by week three, and we're going to be like, it's just going to be out on that. The Chicago locker room, that I don't know why I actually said it in the Chicago accent. The Chicago locker room there loved Justin Fields. That was like a very widely reported thing. Obviously, I think we all agree that the Bears did the right thing. But apparently teammates love Justin Fields. And apparently teammates, you know, aren't fans of Russell Wilson and his shenanigans, you know, trying to run for president by 2040 or whatever it is. So I don't know what's going on. I was laughing hysterically at the Russell Wilson thing. I am in agreement with you, Antonio, that I think Justin Fields is not a great quarterback, but I also think it's annoying to have to play him. And I do think the Ravens are going to be doing that like this season, even though it's only reported that Russell is the starter there. You know, not even joking, I think Mike Tomlin is just happy to win nine games. And he's like, I got a great defense. You know, we didn't believe in Kenny Pickett. And then Kenny Pickett bitched and moaned so much that he got traded to the team that he actually liked, the Philadelphia Eagles, which I thought found hilarious. The Justin Fields thing is very much like the Patrick Queen thing to me. That trade signifies what the league thinks of Justin Fields, just like the Patrick Queen contract to me signifies what the league thinks of Patrick Queen. And outside of that, yeah, I don't know what they're doing, but I'm super happy they're doing it, is all I'll say.
Well, I do think Mike Tomlin's an exceptional coach. I think he's clearly one of the best coaches in the league to just constantly be above 500 with the ragtag collection of quarterbacks they've had going on.
So maybe he can win
10
games now with what they've got.
Well, they won 10 games last year. They made the playoff. They played a playoff game.
They won 10 games because they had a scheduling glitch that had the Ravens play them in the last week of the regular season.
That's right.
And they almost lost that game. They were not a 10-win football team. Please, they were not a playoff team.
That's fair. They were minus 20-point differential, just like they were minus 55 in 2021 when they also made the playoffs. The Steelers haven't won a playoff game since the 2016 season, which is kind of hard to believe. But I don't know. I feel like the trades, at least certainly the Wilson edition, I think was brought about by the sense the clock is ticking on TJ Watt and probably Minka Fitzpatrick. You know, Watt's got to be 30 or close to it if he's not. And Fitzpatrick's only like a year or two younger than him. And Cameron Hayward's like 35 or close to it, something like that. So, you know, they probably think the clock's ticking a little bit with some of that defensive core. And they are still good enough to compete, and Tomlin's a good enough coach to compete. But I still don't see Russ putting, obviously, them over the edge. I do think Wilson's an upgrade over Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph and Mitchell Trubisky, who all played last year. I think that's true. I think some of the Russell Wilson hate might be a little overblown. In that sense, I think he's still a step up, but he's on a one-year deal. And then I'm even more confused now after they brought Fields in, what they're doing, because he's also effectively on a one-year deal unless they're planning to pick up his fifth-year option by May without seeing him play a game for them. It's just very bizarre. So it's like they made a move to maybe secure a potential QB of the future, but then you're not going to play him to see what happens. And now I kind of agree with Tim. I think Tomlin and Russell Wilson are not going to get along, and he's going to start the season, and I could easily see Justin Fields being QB1 for the Steelers by like week 6 or 7 if the Steelers get off to like a 2-4 start or something. But it's just very confusing, because then it still seems like they're going to come out of this year probably either sneak into the playoffs or win 9 or 10 games and still not really know what they have. And I think regardless of even if Fields plays and plays well, they still have I don't know how confident I can be in Deshaun or the other three quarterbacks on the Browns roster, but I'm still going to say that Deshaun, if he's healthy, he's better than Russell Wilson at this point, I think. And that gives the Steelers still the worst quarterback in the division, even if you upgrade the position. So it's very confusing. I don't fully get, like, I think Russ is a low level flyer that I was like, that's fine. If you think you have a competitive team, they're paying him literally the veteran minimum, like 1.2 million, I think. But then you bring in Justin Fields and jettison Pickett. I assumed like they would just keep Pickett kicking around and be like, yeah, maybe we can salvage him. But the fact that they're like 2 years of Kenny Pickett and just done, that was kind of surprising to me. But picking up Fields, I'm like I'm like more confused, because I'm like, what do they want to be? I feel like if I'm the Steelers, like, I either would have just been Russ is our quarterback for 2024, or let's do a trade for Justin Fields, see what he has. If he's got nothing, we're drafting. And if he really bombs, he might have a high pick next year. We're drafting a quarterback. And now they're in the mushy middle yet again, it seems, because they probably aren't going to get enough of a sample size, certainly, to make a determination on Fields and his contract future. He's set to be a free agent if they don't pick up the fifth year or do like a Jordan Love sort of extension. But at least, you know, the Packers had Jordan Love in the building. They don't know anything about Fields other than what they've seen him do with the Bears, which is go 10-28 and have 40 touchdowns to 30 picks. And he has had some good games. He's had some good moments. But, you know, I mean, I think he's boosted by how bad the 2021 class around him is with Mac Jones and Zach Wilson. It's like, yeah. And Trey Lance has played 4 games. It's like, yeah, he's better than those guys, I guess. But even Trevor, this guy everyone said was going to be a historic player, he's kind of been meh. So that class is looking worse and worse by the day. So I don't know. I don't know what the Steelers do. It just seems like they're kind of exchanging their quarterback problems for potentially more problems down the road. And the upside just doesn't fully seem there. But I'm assuming it's just spurred by I understand why they didn't like their current options, but it doesn't seem like, you know, it seems like they need to just bottom out and go like 4-13 and draft a guy, but it'll never happen because Tomlin's too good a coach. So you're in just like such a weird place with them. I really don't. It feels like they're going to kind of be spinning their wheels and finish in the exact same place again next season. So, I don't know. Yeah, good news for us. Will they beat us once in 2024? Absolutely. 100%. Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, doesn't matter. They're going to beat the Ravens at least one time. As long as they don't sweep us again, that's fine. but, yeah, it's a weird place. It's a weird place to be in. It's a very strange team.
Giving up on a first-round draft pick after 2 seasons, be like, we've seen enough, it can't be fixed, and then trading for a guy with 3 years of experience who has struggled massively over 3 years, be like, no, he can be fixed. 3 years is definitely not a large enough sample size. And then I get the, you know, I can hear people screaming into the audio, like the Russell Wilson stuff. They only have to pay him $1 million. It's a flyer. Like, maybe he succeeds while the Broncos pay for all that money. It's like, what's the message, though? Like, what's the plan for the franchise? Like, look at the moves we just talked about for the Ravens. Almost every move they made had a clear plan and path of how the team wants to move forward. These are, like, just confusing, and it's for the most important position on the field. I would argue Wilson and Fields, if you look at the AFC North, are the fifth and sixth best quarterbacks in the AFC North. I would put Jameis Winston above both of them right now. What's the plan? What is the plan here? While trying to get the 20th pick in the first round year in, year out, maybe scrape a loss in the wild card round. It's just, it's baffling considering how good the Steelers are. I feel like they used to be as good as the Ravens with this stuff, with offseason decision making, marginal decisions, finding, you know, diamonds in the rough. And I don't get it. And it is, yeah, I'll take it. It sounds good to me, but making two roster decisions at quarterback and probably having the fifth and sixth best in the AFC North alone, I don't get it.
So I just real quickly on this, because I know we need to move off, and this is enough Steelers talk for the rest of my life. But there are some reports. I don't know the Pickett one per se, but Pickett basically threw his toys out of the pram, as the Brits say, after he found out that Russell Wilson was coming in to take his job. Which, I mean, good on you, Kenny. You've thrown what, like a touchdown pass in 2 years? Like we need to take a chill pill there, and then go to the Eagles and sit behind Jalen Hurts. Great. And then on the Justin Fields thing, which I think is kind of just a funny end cap to all of this, Ian Rappaport reported that he denied four different trades before saying, I want to play in Pittsburgh. So good on the Bears. You know what? They said, we're going to do right by this guy because it's kind of an awkward situation. Kind of let him know what we've got. He can pick where he wants to go. So good on them for that. And some good GM karma points down the road, I think, for Ryan Poles and the Bears. But Justin Fields picks Pittsburgh because he knows he can play over Russell Wilson. Like, that's why he picked it. He didn't pick, I don't know what the other teams were, but you think like a Patriots, because he knows the Patriots are going to take a quarterback. He doesn't want to compete with that guy. He looks at the guy that the Steelers just brought in and said, Russell Wilson? I know I'm at least better than that guy. So yeah, the whole thing, if I'm a Steelers fan, I don't know what kind of mental gymnastics I'm doing to try and convince myself this is a good move.
When they take J.J. McCarthy at what is it, 20?
Oh, please.
I'm going to lose my mind.
Oh, please.
I'm going to die.
He only lost one game in college. Yeah,
serial winner. And they love meditating in Pittsburgh, too, I've heard.
Let's go over just final last free agency thoughts, whatever you guys have left in the notebook. My favorite last thing is the Jets. Their biggest need to start last season when they had Aaron Rodgers was offensive line. They struggled on the line, so they prioritized it this season. So they get John Simpson, they get Morgan Moses, two guys from the Ravens. Who knows if they're going to have as good or better seasons next year. They also get Tyron Smith, the ex-Cowboy. So they addressed it finally. They got legitimate starters, legitimate veterans, all along that offensive line, and it's going to be great when their quarterback is too busy to play games because he's on the presidential campaign, traveling, you know, midweek, missing some practices here and there, some virtual campaign events. He doesn't have time to read film. I don't know it's my most fun story. I hate it and I love it. Imagine being a Jets fan. That's all I'm going to say. Move on from that. But anything else that you guys have about what you saw in free agency this first week?
I just have a couple quick things. The Kirk Cousins thing I think is hilarious because I think it's the epitome of free agency where we all convince ourselves that it's going to work out. Like when he was linked to the Falcons. And then it actually happens and you sit back for 1 second and go, 39-year-old coming off an Achilles injury, and they just paid him that amount of money to do what? It was the epitome of, we're panicking, we don't have a better option, let's just go do this. Like, congratulations on maybe winning the NFC South and being bounced in the wild card round, I guess, is kind of where you're at. But you had Desmond Ridder, so maybe you want that instead. Brian Burns, Carolina, Jesus, I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, I know this is not on the new regime, Dave Canales, and I believe Dan Morgan, I believe, is the GM's name. Why is this brain just filled with useless knowledge?
I wouldn't have pulled that.
Yeah, I don't know how I just pulled Dan Morgan. Behind the curtain, I didn't have any of that in my head. I had Canales, but that was it. And then it just popped into there like some... Never mind. They could have gotten two first-round picks for Brian Burns just like 18 months ago, and then they trade a second and a fifth for him, and he was like one of their only good players, and then they're overpaying for guards because you have Bryce Young in there. If I'm Carolina, I already want that the new owner, David Tepper, to sell. And I know he's not super new now, but like this is getting into Dan Snyder territory, I think, with David Tepper already. Hollywood Brown is going to have 1,500 yards for the Chiefs. That's going to be super annoying. And he's on a one-year, $7 million deal with an additional $4 million in incentives. He's going to get paid by maybe the Carolina Panthers next offseason for a massive payday and never do anything again. But he probably is going to win the Super Bowl, have an incredible catch in the AFC title game against, let's just say the Ravens. That'll be super fun. That move is annoying. That's how you do free agency. The one that pisses off your rivals the most is the move that you should be making. And then just on a more serious note, I think the Texans are doing some really good stuff. I think the Texans are realizing that, hey, this is our window now. We have a potential top five quarterback on a rookie deal. We're gonna have to pay him sooner rather than later. We have a great coach, so let's make some moves on the edge. Speaking of edge, Danielle Hunter, who, if healthy, is a double-digit sack guy automatically. Some underrated guys like Aziz Al-Shahir, which have gotten a lot of praise from the nerdy dudes. And then like a Joe Mixon type. They needed a running back. They capitalized on the Bengals not wanting him anymore. And now they're giving not only D'Amico Ryans weapons for that defense, but giving C.J. Stroud some more offensive weapons too. I think the Texans are doing a great job. And look, you get the quarterback who's that special, it's going to make you competitive. You just have to find ways to get over the top, and I think they're doing that. So Texans going to be a scary team next year.
There's only one. I completely agree with Tim on Hollywood. I think if he went to any other team, it's just it's a newsline blip. But because he went to the Chiefs, like, you know, it's going to work out. And you look at their depth chart, and you're like, and we talked about it in the lead up to the AFC title game and in the AFC title game. It's a 35-year-old Travis Kelce. It's Rashee Rice. And literally no one else good, and they got rid of most of all those guys. So he's going to have a great season. I'm almost positive, and the Chiefs are somehow going to, you know, coming off their worst season of Mahomes' career, they're probably going to be right back to 13 or 14 wins. They brought Chris Jones back. Somehow the LeJarius Sneed thing's going to work out for them. He's either going to play on the tag or they're going to get a deal worked out or something with him. So that's annoying. So the Chiefs are still going to be good, but I'm living my life like they don't exist. It's like, whatever. They'll win the Super Bowl and that's fine. What are we going to do to win games and beat other teams and stuff like that? This isn't going to or shouldn't impact the NFL picture at large, but I did just want to mention our dear friend Joe Flacco is the now backup quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, not re-signing with the Browns. And Antonio, you kind of mentioned it in passing. The Browns signing everyone else but the comeback player of the year. Not really sure. You know, they brought in Jameis Winston, the Browns. They brought in Tyler Huntley. And they still have Dorian Thompson-Robinson, in addition to the quarterback making the most guaranteed money in the NFL, or in Deshaun Watson. It's a very confusing. I don't know why you don't just bring Flacco back if you're the Browns and sign two other quarterbacks. That seems like you just wanted to create, like, or not create a quarterback controversy, basically, by, like, getting rid of the player all the team liked. But there's, you know, given Anthony Richardson made it through all four games in his rookie year, there's a very real chance we see Flacco once again in a rival uniform slinging it for a sort of rival team that has playoff aspirations once again. So, you know, that's, I just wanted to mention that in passing just because we hadn't touched on it. And the Colts are made some interesting moves. And I'm more confused by the Brown side of it, why they wouldn't just, why they'd bring two other backups, including our backup in, rather than the backup that led them to the playoffs. So that's, like, I guess, just to touch on what's happening in Brown's land since we talked about the Steelers a little bit. But yeah, that and the Hollywood thing, those were like the two that jumped out to me, certainly, as a Ravens fan, I would say.
All right, last thing that I want to go over in a few minutes here. Next moves for the Ravens. Jace said, look out for a marginal move in the next few weeks. I said, look out for the NFL draft. That's when I think they will be making their next acquisitions until August. But we have some very clear needs on this team, so going to go through them and then curious as to how you think it could be addressed or how this is going to look. The offensive line is a disaster in that they do not have starting players all over the offensive line. Ben Cleveland, you know, never has there been a better opportunity. Andrew Voorhees is the fun name for me, the USC guy who tore his ACL at the combine. Should have been, I think, like a mid-round type of guy, and then the Ravens got him in the seventh. Missed all of last season with that injury. I would love, nothing would make me happier than Andrew Voorhees just looking good, healthy, winning a starting guard job for this offensive line, but it's a gigantic question mark. Edge rusher, a tradition unlike any other, the need for the Ravens to address that position. Corner, it's Marlon Humphrey, it's Brandon Stevens, and then it's a lot of question marks. And then wide receiver, OBJ posted a few days ago some like love you Baltimore post that kind of clearly means that he is not re-signing. They have three names. They have three guys, right? They have the draft picks. They have Aguilar. Kind of feels like maybe a mid to late round pick is going to end up filling this this room out outside of Bateman and Flowers. What do the Ravens do, guys, to move forward and address these are not like hope it comes into like hope some players just kind of fall on their laps in August. They need starters at a lot of positions here. Where do they look? Where do they go? What are some names you guys like?
For me, just quickly, I think all of these are obvious needs, right? And I think you're exactly right there. But one of them stands so far above the rest, and it's the offensive line. You just invested in a 30-year-old running back. The person that you're most invested in is your franchise, two-time MVP winning quarterback. And over the last couple of years, offensive line has been a strength. I thought Morgan Moses was a great addition for the Ravens over the past couple of years. Steady, solid. Best thing you hear about an offensive lineman is not hear his name, and you didn't hear his name a lot. And in the blink of an eye, they have lost three starters just immediately. And it doesn't look like Kevin Zeitler's coming back either. Like, we've all seen the Ben Cleveland experiment. You know, I know there's the second-round guy out of Oregon as well, Amave Laulu. Sorry.
Nailed it.
Yeah, thank you.
It sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Sala,
that's right. Who impressed in camp, but then ended up losing that left guard job to John Simpson, so maybe they think that he's good enough to compete there. Fine. Daniel Falele just is not a starting right tackle at this point. He's not. And Ronnie Stanley's Ronnie Stanley. You never really know what you're going to get. He's like a box of chocolates at this point. So that absolutely must be addressed. I think the other ones, when you talk about edge and corner and you talk about the defense, I'm with you. Corner always gets hurt. And they want to get another outside corner. You know, Brandon Stevens impressed last year, but they would like to get another outside guy so they could kick Marlon Humphrey inside. But the thing about the defense is what I'll go back to start this conversation when we talked about Justin Madubuike. They have their superstars on the defensive side of the ball. They have their spine. Marlon Humphrey is fourth on that list now, behind Justin Madubuike, Roquan Smith, and Kyle Hamilton. Like, they've got the dudes to figure that out. When I look at pass catchers, I label it pass catchers because, yes, wide receiver is an issue. Wide receiver is always going to be an issue for this team. Last year was an aberration because they were desperate to bring Lamar Jackson back. And you know what they have? They have Isaiah Likely and they have Mark Andrews. They have two legitimate, top-tier, you know, if at worst, above average tight ends, if you're talking about Isaiah Likely and how you rate him. So those are two other pass catchers to go along with Zay Flowers in year two, whatever you get out of Rashad Bateman and Nelson Aguilar. I think that needs to be addressed, but it's not the thing that scares me the most. The thing that scares me the most, the thing that could break down that offense completely, and that is an inexperienced, mistake-prone offensive line. So for me, I need vets. I need probably a tackle in round one. This is a loaded tackle draft, which is really good to know. Although a lot of the top tier guys will obviously be gone by pick 30, but I need to address offensive line, and that is my 1, 2, and 3 priority before getting into any of these other positions.
I think you nailed it, Tim. I'd be pretty, you know, Ravens always go by their board. They're always best player available, but I would be generally pretty stunned if their best player available when they pick in that first round is not an offensive lineman of some type. It just seems like such a slam dunk. And yeah, I mean, we talked, they have two linemen coming back, and one is Ronnie Stanley, who I think if they hadn't restructured that deal, there's a very real world he might have been gone too, because, you know, he's such a frustrating player, and we've talked about it. He's so good, and yeah, he, you know, he's going to get hurt. Like, that's just how it is. I see how you end up keeping him over Morgan Moses due to contractual problems, and just like, if he's on the field, he is your best offensive lineman, generally. Maybe after Linderbaum these days, but that's too often not been the case in recent years. So yeah, I'm with Tim. I'd prioritize the line. The edge, I'm not going to rule out, you know, them bringing back like a guy like Van Noy or even Clowney. Them both being unsigned is promising, I would say, but there's some other names available, and if they want to get really crazy, even there's a name like a Tyler Boyd jumped out to me in the wide receiver market, maybe, but I still think I lean with you. They probably end up drafting someone, I would think, more than given a free agent contract or investing in a wide receiver, because I do think you have to kind of solidify those edge and corner spots, and certainly edge, you know, it'd be nice if they figure out something, I think, with one of Clowney or Van Noy. I'm not going to hold my breath on that, but certainly can't Dafe Owe and maybe David Ojabo's healthy can't be your edge plan, so I'd be stunned if they don't certainly either sign a veteran or two or draft there as well. So I'm a little less concerned about corner just because they do have those two starters, but that is the position that everyone gets hurt on every year. So the more you can get, probably the better. But there's still a few guys like Arthur Millette hasn't signed anywhere. Maybe they bring him back. He's shined in moments. But yeah, I am team draft, and we'll get in more of the draft, I assume, whenever we record next. But I am team drafted offensive lineman. In this draft, there should be a lot of even some pretty good players by the time they pick. And I'm with you. I'm interested to see Andrew Voorhees, Antonio, see what he brings to the table. And the people who watch the film seem to enjoy what Ben Cleveland did in his limited opportunities last year. So who knows? Maybe fourth year's the charm with him. But another one I'm not going to hold my breath on either. But yeah, I'm team offensive line. You gotta draft someone. You gotta even maybe bring in a vet. Or two, so we'll see. Like we said, they brought in John Simpson late, I believe, last year too, and he ended up being their starting left guard, so certainly no reason to panic, but yeah, you need starters, and they have two of them. You need at least five, so work to do for sure.
We will see how all those positions shake out. I'd love to be proven wrong, Jace. I'd love a starter to just get signed pre-draft, and then just add another offensive lineman and then the first round and just go from there. But we will see how it shakes out. The draft about a month away. We're going to kind of be staggered here as it's off season. So looking, I think, at a 2-week turnaround for our next episode to talk about whatever other big news has happened. And then after that, kind of start previewing the NFL draft and doing our mock, which I know is one of our more fun episodes of the season. So this helped. I think I kind of turned a page here. It's 2024. It's a new season. The Ravens did just the right amount of nice things, the shiny toys to get me excited about a new Baltimore Ravens season. And we will be here to talk with you about it all season. For Jace Evans and Tim Horsey, I am Antonio Barbera. Thank you so much for listening to us on Pod Like a Raven. We will see you probably in about 2 weeks.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.